From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. While many of us are familiar with right-wing Christian evangelical efforts to undermine women's reproductive rights here in the United States, an insidious network of American-run clinics worldwide has been found to be pushing their anti-abortion message. A new investigation by Open Democracy found that organization called Heartbeat International, linked to Donald Trump, based in Ohio, operates so-called crisis pregnancy centers in 18 different countries. Journalists went undercover for this first-of-its-kind investigation and found that such centers were spreading misinformation and outright lies in order to deter women from having abortions. We go now to Mexico City to speak with Isabella Cota. She is a journalist focused on finance and investigative reporting. She was a correspondent for Reuters and Bloomberg News in the United Kingdom, Costa Rica, and in her native Mexico. Before becoming independent, she's worked with Quinto Elemento Lab, and her work has been published in The Guardian, The Independent, Univision, and Business Week, among others. And her story on open democracy is entitled Revealed: U.S.-Linked Anti-Abortion Centers Lie and Scare Women Across Latin America. It's part of the broader story called Trump-Linked Religious Extremists Target Women with Disinformation Worldwide. Welcome to the program, Isabella.
Hi, Sonali. Thank you for having me.
So can you first give us an overview of the bigger story before we focus on your part of it? I understand that you and other journalists essentially went undercover at these crisis pregnancy centers around the world.
That's correct. Open Democracy got a network of reporters in 18 different countries to really look into these crisis pregnancy centers, as they are known in the United States, and really nail down what it is exactly that they are telling women. So I was one of these reporters across the world. We all went undercover. We presented ourselves with a story as facing an unwanted pregnancy. We wanted to know our options. Most of these centers, although not all of them, advertised online or in some way as a center that actually provided abortions. So, you know, it was understandable to expect to show up at one of these centers already feeling like you were going to get the abortion done. And in reality, what we faced was emotional manipulation and lies, very different kinds of lies across the world. Among our main findings, we found reporters were told that getting an abortion could increase your risk of cancer, that one of them suggested, if not, didn't say outright, but they suggested that your partner could turn gay if you have an abortion, that our reporter in Costa Rica in Central America was told that she could get cerebral palsy from an abortion. It was just all different kinds of terrible, terrible lies. Me personally, in the two centers that I went to in Mexico City, I was told, among other things, that 30% of women who get an abortion suffer a serious complication from it. And that includes the perforation of the uterus or hemorrhage or the perforation of of intestines, which is a complete lie. The rate is lower than 1%, depending on where you are in the world.
So they that means also at least 99% of abortions are safe.
Yes. I mean, generally speaking, it really does depend on where you have the abortion done in the world, but the rate is of around 1%. And they said 30%. They also told me that if I suffered any complication from an abortion, whether medical or not, that no hospital would treat me, which is a lie. By law in Mexico, hospitals have to treat anyone that comes in to the emergency room. And they also told me, they showed me fake consent forms that asked for either a relative or the father of, I guess not the father, but the partner of the woman to sign for their consent for the woman to get an abortion, which is really, really serious. Any woman, if we can imagine the case of a 17-year-old who perhaps got pregnant through a rape or even just by accident, who doesn't really know her rights, and she ends up in one of these centers, she's being told that she needs consent. And that's totally going to dissuade her from making decisions on her own body. And this is what they're telling women in Mexico.
So the such crisis pregnancy centers have been operating in the United States. There's hundreds, maybe thousands of them around the country. We know about them. They use language that's sympathetic to pregnant women, pregnant people who might be concerned about what to do, might be considering an abortion, who might be lured in by their language, who go in only to find that they're essentially talked out of it, or presented with information that's suggestive of being, you know, unbiased, but is, of course, extremely biased. So are these crisis pregnancy centers in the U.S. A precursor to what is now spread worldwide? Are they linked? Are they part of the same trend?
That is an excellent, excellent question. And I really hope that viewers and listeners of your show can go online and check if these centers are operating in their state, because what we have seen from this first mapping out of these operations that Open Democracy has done is that their operations really vary from where they are. We know that these crisis pregnancy centers started in the 70s around Roe versus Wade as a response to this reproductive freedom that women were given. We know that in some states, they receive questionable funds, perhaps from even the government, the local government. But it really does depend on where they are. What we did at Open Democracy is basically take this wealth of information that we have of these centers in the United States and try to figure out how much of this is done outside of the country. We found very different experiences, but fundamentally, they're doing the same thing. They are lying to women, or they are manipulating women in order to dissuade them from getting an abortion. How they do it might differ significantly, but fundamentally, the goal and the actions are the same.
So let's talk specifically about what you found. I understand that your article, which is part of this broader study, focuses on Latin America, Mexico, and Ecuador and Argentina included. Where did you do your work, and how? What has the response been to the study showing what these crisis pregnancy centers are doing?
So I'm going to start with where the investigation in Latin America started. And that was in the tax filings of these two organizations, two U.S. organizations called Heartbeat International and Human Life International. Because they are foundations or NGOs, they have to report in their tax filings whether they spend money abroad. Heartbeat International has reported in its tax filings that they work closely and partly finance centers across Latin America that operate out of Mexico called CAM. It's Centro de Ayuda para la Mujer, so CAM, that's short for CAM. So we started looking into these camps. Me personally, I started looking into where these centers are in Mexico, but I ended up finding a bunch of places across Latin America, which is a giant, giant region where they also operate. So on my first part of this operation, I added up the amount of money that they've spent since 2007 and found that these two organizations combined have spent $2.2 million in the region. Separately, I reached out along with Diana Cariboni, who is the editor and also a reporter on the story, who is based in South America. We found reporters that could go to these centers. So we had reporters go to centers in Argentina, Ecuador, Costa Rica, and Mexico City. I went to Mexico City. Now, what I found particularly here, which is a very interesting case because in Mexico City, abortion is legal under any reason before week 12 of the pregnancy. What I found is that they advertise online with photos of doctors with stethoscopes and lab coats, and they advertise themselves as specialists on medical abortions. But when in fact, when you get to the place, there's nothing that says this is a clinic. There's no doctors. There are no lab coats. It's like a makeshift bed with a TV. And one of the centers, there was an ultrasound machine. I was very aggressively told that I was killing my baby, that I shouldn't kill my baby because my baby only had me. I was asked for my partner's contact information, which I refused to give. I was told that even if my parents kicked me out of the house, that I would be able to survive, but and that I should still have a baby. I was offered an ultrasound by a person who admitted that she was not a doctor, and she also offered me post-abortion syndrome therapy, psychological therapy, in case I decided to have an abortion. What I found particularly disturbing is that in Mexico City, you could walk into any public clinic and ask for an abortion, and they have to provide it to you by law.
And that's so when actually I asked, quite progressive compared to the U.S.
Very progressive. I mean, Mexico City is kind of like the exception to the rule of Latin America, really. It's one of the most progressive cities in the region. And these women in these centers refused to give me any real information on where I could actually get an abortion. This is very dangerous. I really hope that listeners and viewers of your show can understand that a woman who is pregnant, who is considering an abortion, needs to have all the right information at hand to make the best decision. You can't ask a woman to go to a separate center without giving her guidance to where to go and how it works, because it might just put her pregnancy at risk and her life. So this is in a nutshell what we found. I mean, one of the most disturbing aspects of this, of course, and as you mentioned before, are that these two organizations have political ties to the Trump administration. Heartbeat International in particular was found by a separate investigative group years ago to have been working with the U.S. government by diverting migrant minors who wanted to get an abortion or who were pregnant. They were diverted off to Heartbeat International. So that means that the Trump administration and one of these organizations has worked closely. And this is extremely important. These organizations are emboldened, they are empowered, and now we're seeing the consequences beyond the U.S. border.
I want to play for our audience an excerpt of a video created by Open Democracy about the broader investigation so that we can hear from some of the women themselves about what they were told at these crisis pregnancy centers.
Les dije que estaba considerando abortar. Me hicieron ver un video sobre cómo si me hago un aborto médico puedo morir.
They told me that terminating a pregnancy will have severe implications for my health.
I was trained to tell women that if they had an abortion, they were more likely to abuse their other children, they could die, and their partner could turn gay.
They say they offer pregnant women advice. They often look like medical clinics or counseling services. But in fact, many are run by activists who try to talk women out of having abortions, and often from accessing contraception too. There are thousands of these centers in the US, but now we've discovered they've spread all over the world. They're backed by a powerful American lobby group, Heartbeat International. Heartbeat claims close links to the Trump administration. In centers across 18 countries, we found extraordinary distortions and manipulation. We were told things like, abortion increases cancer risks, condoms don't work, hospitals will refuse to treat medical complications. All of this is false.
Me dijeron que si quería abortar, necesitaba el consentimiento firmado del hombre que me embarazó.
And that is a short excerpt from a video created by Open Democracy as part of the investigation, first of its kind investigation into so-called crisis pregnancy centers run by a U.S. organization in 18 different countries. My guest is Isabella Cota. She is one of the journalists who participated in this investigation, specifically focusing on Latin America. So I understand that some lawmakers in some Latin American countries are, just now understanding the extent of this problem. What are some of the things that they have suggested to counter this misinformation?
So this is very interesting. The reaction by lawmakers, government officials, and even activists across Latin America has been mostly not just outrage, but a call to action. In Mexico, for example, just as an example, I spoke to a senator, Patricia Mercado, who pointed to the fact that they seem to be operating, at least in Mexico, in some kind of a loophole because their advertising is confusing and misleading enough not to be regulated under the health ministry, and therefore they kind of can get away with this. So she called for a campaign of true information across the country so that women don't end up in these centers. We have, for example, lawmakers in Ecuador saying that they have to be investigated and action needs to be taken. The same goes for Argentina. Lawmakers and government officials are calling for some kind of action so that these centers cannot keep operating as they are currently. In Mexico City, I spoke to the health minister of the city, who is a woman, Oliva Lopez. She said that they've received some citizen complaints regarding misinformation of these types of centers and that an investigation would take place. But she really felt short in whether there's going to be a sanction, whether there has been a sanction, or whether what kind of a sanction these centers could face. From my perspective, Sonali, as the reporter in charge of looking at all this information in the region, I feel like there's still not enough, I don't want to say a reaction or political will, but perhaps a lack of unity in the different governments. You have certain people calling out to action so that this stops, but we don't have everyone coming out and saying this needs to stop. And so we're hoping that now that this information has been exposed, that there might be more organization, better organization in the different governments for much larger, more impactful action.
On Heartbeat International's website, they explain, this is the organization that runs these crisis pregnancy centers that's linked to the Trump administration and is supported by them, or they claim support by them. They are saying that that they provide just information from seeing the flutter of the heartbeat on her first ultrasound to teaching parenting classes or coordinating an adoption plan and providing material aid throughout the pregnancy and beyond. We offer compassionate support so that no woman ever feels that abortion is her only option. She mentioned the ultrasound situation. This is something that U.S. Right-wing lawmakers have pushed in states around the United States, where basically they have mandated in some cases that doctors have to do ultrasounds. The so-called heartbeat bills are based on that as well. Is this the kind of information that they're suggesting women need to have before they decide on an abortion?
Perhaps. I mean, that could be the case. In reaction to our story specifically, Heartbeat stand by their training programs and their training material, because as far as we understand, and this might be a bit different, the Heartbeat International is in a way training and helping the people working outside of the United States run these centers. So there could be some things that the women in the staff at these centers are doing outside of the Heartbeat their type of care protocol or their guidelines. But there are other things that they could be advised to do directly that they're just following instructions. So there's a bit of a gray area there. All we do know for a fact is that some of the things that the reporters faced around the world are the same things that women in the United States in Heartbeat International centers have been told exactly. And for that, we tie directly the training and the information to Heartbeat International.
Where does this organization get its funding? I mean, if it's running centers both in the United States and in 18 different countries around the world, they must be, you know, they must have pretty deep pockets.
Yes, the short answer to that is, well, donations. Just like any foundation or a non-governmental organization, they have donors who are aligned with their values, who provide them with funds every year to conduct their activities. Some states, for example, in the global story, we talk about Florida, in which it's possible that Florida state funds have been going to this organization. But as I said before, it's really difficult to tell exactly how this operates in the different states in the United States. We do know for a fact, based on their tax filings, that wherever they're getting their money, some of it is flowing out to Latin America and some of it is flowing out to the rest of the country.
Isabella, let's also finally talk about what grassroots efforts there might be to counter this push, because, you know, those even a country like Mexico, which has much more progressive policies on women's access to abortion compared to the U.S., if such centers are allowed to operate under the radar, if you will, I imagine that the news of what you've done has sparked people to come forward, those who are pro-abortion activists, pro-choice activists, to do some, you know, to counter this in a grassroots way, to counter it with real information. Because, of course, what these centers seem to be doing is operating on pretty strong sense of ignorance and pushing ignorance, pushing misinformation. So what are some measures beyond legislative to counter them?
Well, all feminist collectives, I mean, I'll speak about Latin America specifically because it's the region that I've been looking at more closely. When it comes to grassroots movements, Latin America really has seen the flourishment of a bunch of feminist organizations across the region. We have had the abortion debate happening in Argentina, for example, in recent years, which sparked the Green Handkerchief movement, which is now ubiquitous across the entire region, just as an example. So when it comes to grassroots efforts, it's really going to come down to these organizations taking this information and making sure that they start a campaign on of their own to give women the actual true information that they need to make the right decision. So we haven't seen this happening explicitly yet, but we are hoping that this information, as it's the first time it's been out in this manner, mapped in this way, will make women organize better in their individual countries and start campaigns to inform women with the real information that they need.
And Isabella, is opendemocracy.net the best place for people to find a link to the work that you and your fellow journalists have done on the story?
That's correct. Yes. Opendemocracy.net is the main website of the organization. This has been done under the 50-50 project, which is the gender focused project. But you can find all of the links on opendemocracy.net as well as our social media, Open Democracy.
And we'll link to both your piece and the broader piece from our website directly as well. Thank you so much for joining us today and good luck to you.
Thank you, Sonali, and thank you for having me and your listeners for taking a good listen.
My guest has been Isabella Cota. She's a journalist focused on finance and investigative reporting. We've been discussing her story for Open Democracy entitled Revealed, U.S.-Linked Anti-Abortion Centers Lie and Scare Women Across Latin America. It's part of a broader story called Trump-Linked Religious Extremists Target Women with Disinformation Worldwide. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes, and now Spotify.